Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
His words program Patriots talk across the country.
What's the Patriots' ultimate goal for this year?
I think this offense is probably going to run the ball over 500 times.
Get up to date on the latest Patriots storylines with Tommy Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Now on Dale and Keefe.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NBC Sports Boston Patriots reporter Tom E. Curran. Tom is brought to you by Zooty. Build any apps your company need fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. Tom is also brought to you by Northeast Electric, where pros need pros. Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
Dale, I'm on top of the world. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. We mentioned this earlier. The NFL is reportedly tracking the situation in Seattle. The Mariners and Giants had to move their two-game series to San Francisco because of air quality issues. Are you hearing any more about the possibility of a problem for Sunday's game?
Well, it's still early out there. I know that Pete Carroll was concerned on Wednesday and said it would be a practice time decision as to whether they went outside or inside. The hope was that there was going to be some cleansing rain last night out in, on the West Coast to kind of bring some of the pollutants down. The feeling is that it should be, again, should be okay by the weekend, relatively speaking, and that they'd be able to play. But they have numbers and charts and radars and diagrams to let them know when it is and isn't safe. So I'm sure they're going to use those as their guide. But they're monitoring it, definitely, Dale.
Going back to Sunday's win over the Dolphins, anything stand out to you that was either much better than you anticipated or, on the other end, much worse than you anticipated?
The defense. I mean, I sat here and explained to everybody that you can't lose Kyle Van Noy and Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and Danny Shelton and Alandon Roberts and have it not take a chunk out of you. And that didn't surface on Sunday really at all. And I thought that if you look at guys who made plays, Adrian Phillips, Chase Winovich, guys in the middle of the field, I thought Juwan Bentley had a good game. J.C. Jackson, who is a known quantity, but played well. Juwan Williams, Byron Coward. So these are the guys who we have banged the drum on our website, on our television show, and on this radio station about what did you get from those drafts? What did you get from acquisitions in 15, 16, 17, and 18? Throw Derek Rivers in there too. And at least first yield, you say, oh, good. That's good. They needed that to happen, and it did.
Yeah, Tom, down the stadium, one of the first things that I noticed, aside from the fact that it is just plain friggin' awkward, having all these, you know, large-grown, loud men playing football and having to be dead silent no matter where you are, was that the defense did play faster than I thought they would, that they were quick to the ball, that they had a decent pass rush at times, that everything was up-tempo, including obviously the fact that they were in motion a lot on offense. And especially, I thought the offensive line, which graded out as the highest offensive line in week one in the NFL, really played with purpose and power. Like guys like Jermaine Illuminor, who last year were sort of like a preseason afterthought, were out there mauling guys. Michael Onwenu saw action at right tackle and played great. Did how well the line play surprise you?
Not exactly, because as we knew that there was a lot of talent there. But what I did think happened that I agree with you on, Fitzy, is I think they warmed to the scheme.
Yeah.
When you're running the stuff that they are, and you're Shaq Mason or Joe Tooney, and you get to pull and then just absolutely blast some guy who doesn't really know you're coming, whether it be a corner and an outside linebacker or even a defensive end, that's great. That's fun. And you're clearing holes in one spot that, hey, if you didn't do your job that great on that, you got a quarterback who can pull it back and take it around the end himself. So I think the offensive line is probably, look, it's a privilege to cover the guy. It was a privilege to block for the guy. I'm sure it was a privilege to catch passes from the guy. It was great. But there are elements to the Cam Newton's presence right now, Fitzy, that make him a better fit for week-to-week success than Tom Brady was. And I think that that is tied to the personnel here. That is, they're strong on the offensive line. They're strong on the secondary, so they can be aggressive up front. And they're not strong in other places, so run the ball. Take advantage of your strengths. Play to those.
We're talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. When we looked at offensive snaps among the wide receivers for Sunday's game, the fact that Damier Byrd had 19 more snaps than Julian Edelman did, and other guys had more snaps as well. Is he on a pitch count here?
I don't know. I mean, if he was, you would figure he probably wouldn't have gotten the jet sweep later and they wouldn't have stuck him back on punt returns. But certainly too, Dale, when you mentioned that, Bill did veer off in talking about punt returns and the deployment there. It was eye-opening, at least, to hear him at least allow that we probably don't want to put Julian back there as much. So he should be on a pitch count, given the fact that he saw the ball, made 100 catches, saw the ball about 140 last year, and was sawdust by the end of the season. So it's good if they can get by limiting his reps. That's a huge bonus, Dale. It's a good observation. If you're going to, you need him in November more than you need him in September.
Well, speaking of receivers, Tom, what do you think the appetite would be for them to explore the trade options and bring in a receiver at some point this season before the trade deadline? Obviously, Allen Robinson is going through, seems like, some contract issues with Chicago. Odell Beckham's name is always brought up. Could you see them going after one of those guys or somebody else?
Here's the thing about the trades. I wonder if they're once bitten, twice shy. They're without a second-round pick this past year because of Mohamed Sanu, and now they don't have Mohamed Sanu. They have tried to shore up the receiver position each of the last 2 years prior with Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon. Neither time did that pan out. They are obviously not in a great spot at that position in terms of talent and speed and the speed-size combo. Jacoby Myers is probably the best speed-size combo. He runs like a 4.6. And I mean, yes, N'Keal Harry of speed. So, yeah, they're lacking there. But I find it hard to believe that in this year of, look, let's get the books balanced and get back right and stop chasing that last piece that'll help Tom win a championship, there might be a little bit more caution shown around the trade deadline, I think. That's a question we're going to be asking over the next couple months, guys. Is this a team that you are a buyer for at the trade deadline or a seller from? And I wonder what you guys think. I mean, too early to tell, but my guess would be you're not going to be a buyer.
See, I think you could be. And I guess the question would be, are you only a buyer if you think you're an absolute Super Bowl contender? Because I think regardless of what you buy, you're behind the Kansas City Chiefs, and maybe the Ravens. But everybody else, you're in there, and we've seen the Ravens have postseason struggles the last couple of years. So if you think you can make a move that makes you the third best team in the AFC, to me, it'd be worth doing.
And they're going to have ultimate confidence in that. And by the end of last year, I'm looking at it as, well, you got ass whipped by Baltimore, Kansas City, and Houston, and you lost at home
to Tennessee
in the second to last game to the Dolphins. So were you really a receiver away? When you got Sanu, were you really that close? And it's worth talking about how competitive are they with the good teams. They did what they should have done, even though I didn't think that they were going to be capable of it against Miami because I thought it was too new. But what's their ceiling, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to think that with some of the guys that are on IR and some of the guys that are popping kind of early, that they may be more competitive throughout the season. I mean, I had them at 10-6. I know you had them at 8-8, I believe, Tom. I think this is the team, and I think Sunday, I think they lose Sunday, but I think that it's going to be an absolute rock fight against Seattle. And to that point, I wonder how much do you think, I mean, I believe the Pats will probably throw more this Sunday, that obviously there was a lot of running that was probably matchup dependent, but do you think that the way that they orchestrated the offense on Sunday was matchup dependent, or was a lot of that like, all right, guys, let's get this out there on tape. So now we've got Seattle thinking about it, and let's get all the teams thinking like we got to watch out for the read option, RPO, zone runs, et cetera, the rest of the season, because there's an unpredictability and a newness to this Patriots offense that other teams just aren't ready for or have to worry more about as they prepare to play the Patriots.
Yeah, I think some teams are going to be, look, we do what we do kind of defense anyway. So, yeah, they did that to Miami, and Miami plays, you know, man everywhere. And they're a two-gap team, and they use, you know, linebacker blitzes. Seattle has been a we do type team defensively. They play zone, so that lends you to believe that, you know, there's going to be more throws, as we've seen, whether it be the Atlanta Super Bowl or the Super Bowl 49 or the San Diego game. Any of those cover three schemes, there are alleys to throw. That's how the Patriots have gotten by throwing it to James White or Shane Vereen, or James White probably this Sunday. So they'll probably throw more, not as a reaction. And McDaniels was alluding to this, so I'm kind of going off what he said. Not as a reaction to, hey, now we're going to zig because they zagged. It's going to be more, hey, we can't do what we did against these guys the way we did to Miami because they're just a different team. We should throw. That will be our place to use Julian Edelman, to use James White.
Tom, we learned that last night Bill Belichick's mom, Jeanette, passed away at the age of 98. He did not do his media availability today. I don't know if he's at practice today.
He is.
He is, okay. And our thoughts, obviously, are with the Belichick family. Do we know what his plans are for the week yet?
He's going to be doing a press conference with us tomorrow morning on WebEx, and I would imagine they will be standard the same way they kind of were when his dad passed in 2005. So certainly, yeah, and to absolutely echo, you know, the thoughts and prayers to him and his family, because, you know, he's an only child, and you know, his parents were unbelievable teachers, and you can't, I don't know what it's like to be an only child, but they seemed like they had a very cool, loving, studious, disciplined household. And his mother was a French teacher, Spanish teacher, both, I think. And she was a great linguist, and I think she learned a lot, he learned a lot about teaching and learning from her as much as Steve Belichick we credit. So it's interesting when you look at why is Bill the way he is, and maybe the family unit explains a lot as to how they approached things, and him being an only child, and just as inquisitive as he is. And you guys have sat there, I'm sure, over the course of time, have all had conversations with him where you realize, wow, I'm doing most of the talking here. It's because he actually asks questions when he's in a relaxed setting, where he wants to gather information. He's an inquisitive person. And I think that, you know, probably a lot of that can be traced back to how he was brought up and where he was brought up and the family unit that he had. So it's sad, I would imagine, even though she was 98, and I don't think she was in great health for the last several years. It's sad to see that, because it is, you know, his only surviving parent.
Tom, what was your takeaway from Tom Brady's debut with the Bucs, as well as Rob Gronkowski's return to the league?
Start with Gronk. He looked like a guy getting into a cold pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And there's so much mental that enters into it with him. We saw it here. Remember when he got hit in Denver in 2015? And it turned out to be a thigh bruise, but he was rolling around in the snow, and you thought, oh, my God, I think they're going to have to amputate. He got hit on the calf, right on the side of the knee on that little screen that he caught. And I'm just watching him afterwards, kind of little limping. And then he blocked well on the next down. But I think that you go from a year in which you finally got to breathe a sigh of relief. My body's not going to get punished. Now you're back in it again. Because I don't know why. I mean, did you feel an allegiance to Tom? Did you hunger for the, you know, limelight and the competition? Do you really want to do this? So I think that's going to be really fascinating to watch as the year goes along. He's still going to be a physical mismatch, but you have to bring the attitude with you. And as for Brady, look, 23 for 36 is not a horrible day. They couldn't run the ball on first down. I did find that interesting that they really made a commitment to run early in downs. So they were a little bit behind the sticks, but the throw to the sideline, I don't care if he's 26, 36, 43, we've seen him throw balls to the sideline that have been picked by Delta and O'Neal or Champ Bailey or now Janoris Jenkins. There was nothing I saw, to sum it up, that made me say he's too old. But there were elements that I saw that made me say, this learning curve could be hard. But then what do you guys think about the level of competition that he was facing? That's probably the best team in the NFC, and it was a one-score game for a lot of it.
Oh, way more talent. And I thought both were kind of not great. I thought Drew Brees wasn't very good. He just happened to win. I think
He looked worse than Brady.
Yeah, big time. I agree with that. I think this week will be pretty telling. Carolina, I believe, Tampa is facing.
They're home against Carolina, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a team you should be able to put up some points on. And so hopefully it looks a little bit smoother. What did you think, Tom, of Bruce Arians?
Oof.
Post-game, putting both picks on Brady. The next day, he took away one, talking about Evans, but then still was pretty harsh and critical of Brady, something that Belichick probably very much was behind the scenes, but not as openly to everybody else.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating, because that is his MO. I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, he lacerates guys in post-game press conferences, and he did it in a kind of a pointed way with Brady in terms of, look, it's okay to say you made a bad throw, and that's not what the mistake was on him. But to take it to the next step with, he's got to show a little bit of grit and determination, and to say, look, we saw all this stuff before. I don't know if he was scared or nervous. That's anteing up a little bit on the mental aspect of it, which I would be surprised if Brady didn't hear that, knowing the guy for, you know, 3 or 4 months, say, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, let's not get ridiculous here. But on the other hand, too, this is fun Bruce as opposed to not fun Bill.
That's right.
So I'm sure that he was a little taken aback. I you know, reached out to some folks in Foxborough, and they said that's probably not going to go over real big with him. I didn't ask directly down there to find out, because I probably figured it was a little bit too close to the bone for now. I'll find out later. But his reaction probably doesn't need prompting from Bruce Arians, but it is a really interesting dynamic to look at, because you can say that, but then there's a point at which you're driving home and you're like, if we don't understand what to do on a blooped onside kick, it really doesn't matter if I throw outside instead of taking the option screen, if we can't even execute simple plays like that on special teams.
Yeah, you might want to go back to the old Johnny Foxborough days if you're going to keep getting called out by old fun Bruce down there. Last question for me, Tom. I know, it's just all so weird, but last question for me, back to Sunday. That game could have been blown open in the third quarter had N'Keal Harry not done something that Belichick preaches you not do and try to reach pylon, fumble through the end zone, and that was a 14-point swing. Do you see the Patriots seeing potential in what Harry did Sunday and trying to work him in more, or is there going to reach a level of frustration where, like, he gets trucked by a cornerback, 35 pounds his junior, he fumbles through the end zone, like, every time the guy makes one step forward, he takes two steps back. Is there still, do you think, the confidence in that building to get this guy going and turn him into an asset, or will the diminishing returns eventually not yield for him?
No, 100% there's confidence. I mean, he's 10 games in, so he was a first-round pick. The body is there, the physical ability. Look, he should not have slowed down on the sideline and tried to cut back. But we've seen him beast people before, too. So I'm going to say, okay, that was a miscalculation. It happened. But the other stuff's mental. I mean, yes, it's great to try and figure out a way that you can get the ball to the goal line. But once you started moving it, these are still things that he's learning, because he missed so much of last year and went to Arizona State that he doesn't know. So if you slow down, even though that guy's 5'9", 185, he's going to de-cleat you. If you move the ball a little bit, the defender who's bringing you down might sense it and knock it loose. He's going to get better. He's just got to stop with, just do what you can do first.
Finally, Dale. Finally, before
that's
we let you go,
timing.
there were fans in Kansas City and Jacksonville only last weekend. This weekend, there will be fans in Miami, Dallas, Cleveland, and Indianapolis only. Are you hearing any early rumblings about owners, general managers, or coaches not liking the fact that in some places they can have fans and other places they can't?
100%. Yes. That is something that is, you know, going to present itself throughout the season. I think coaches in particular are going to start to feel that way. And then owners are going to get there, because where would the Patriots like to open up? They'd like to open up the Optum Club. They'd like to open up, you know, some of these suites. The people who spend a lot of money to support that football team, they'd like to get those open for people to be in there. Socially distanced, masked up, whatever. That's my perception. So it's not going to stop. It's something I heard plenty of in the offseason. But it's going to probably ratchet up as schools open, football opens, and we get back to business just a little bit.
Tom, we appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. One of the things I had been told by people who were in the know down at the stadium was that until the state had kids back in schools, generally, not just here and there, it was going to be hard to allow fans in stadiums. That's what I was told.
Well, I can reconfirm that as well. Having been in the empty bowl Sunday, everyone I spoke with said that they obviously can't because it falls under the state guidance. It doesn't fall under the town of Foxborough, even though they gave the okay for 20% capacity or 13,500. And everyone down there, Dale, right now is preparing for the rest of this regular season under the auspices of no fans in the stands. They are assuming that the governor will not lift the restriction on the number of people that can attend a live sporting event down there, and that there will be no fans. It's not guaranteed yet, but I'm pretty sure they're thinking, like, yeah, we're not going to get anyone. So Jimmy Garoppolo's going to come back and play in front of an empty stadium.
Ugh.
Drew Lock and that air and that the Denver attack. Nobody.
So bad. So bad.
How about December 28th when the Bills and Patriots play on Monday Night Football, likely for the AFC East, Rich?
Nothing.
Mike McCarthy told the media in Dallas today that it was his, although the Cowboys haven't announced anything yet, it was his understanding that there would be 20,000 fans allowed into the stadium in Dallas for this weekend, which is going to look funny in a stadium, you know, as big as that.
Still, though, I mean, not bad. But the Kansas City thing didn't look quite as bad as I thought it would, being empty, and like they made some noise, and like it was something.
There were people in Jacksonville cheering on Jacksonville's upset of the Colts. 20,000 people in Jerry World will still be something.
2-0. There's going to
be fans, and there's going to be 6,000. I was telling Rich this earlier on a break, Dale. There was a little Twitter video. They're allowing 6,000 at the Browns game on Thursday. Yay! And what they've done to prevent people gathering en masse, they have zip-tied like 65,000 seats down. So they're literally using the same things that you would like.
You can't sit there.
Yeah, you can't even open the seat at that point. So we'll see how that works.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. When we come back, a new segment. It is something we haven't tried on Dale and Keefe with Fitzy or with Hart, for that matter. We call it Boom Roasted. And there's some boom roasting that was going on last night in the NBA. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
All right, unfortunately, as we've chronicled throughout the program, the Celtics lost last night 117-114 in overtime, game one of their Eastern Conference Final Series with the Miami Heat. But Rich, you teased it earlier, and you actually have some good news about the Red Sox.
Believe it or not, Dale, I do. A lot of people have been piling on the Red Sox. It has not been maybe the best season for them. But I promise you, and this is something for the listener out there, that I will give you one very positive thing as it relates to the Boston Red Sox every day for the rest of the season.
The Red Sox magic number is 13.
That's right, Dale. Only 13 more days left in the Red Sox season. So in 13 days, this will all be over.
Well, it's a start.
Not bad. Less than 2 weeks.
What are they saying? What are they saying? Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Dale? Always look on the bright side of life. It's only 13 days left until this absolute dumpster fire is over. And tomorrow?
Less than 2 weeks.
12.
Tomorrow's going to be
magic
even better.
Number 12.
Every day, I'm giving you better news, in fact, than the day before. So something to tune in for tomorrow as well.
All right, let's go on to our next part of the program here. Last night, we talked about what went on, the L.A. Clippers rather unceremoniously being eliminated by the Denver Nuggets. They had a 3-1 lead in the series. They had a big lead in Game 7 as well and booted it all away. And it did not escape the attention of people around the NBA, right?
That's correct. Seemingly everybody took to Twitter or Instagram to post something in regards to the Clippers choke job.
So this is this part of the program we like to call Boom Roasted. So, I'll start.
Go ahead.
Some of the tweets that came out last night in the immediate aftermath of the game. Let's start with that, as you noted, great NBA analyst Irvin Magic Johnson, who tweeted out, "The Clippers choked again. They choked against Houston in 2015, and they choked tonight against the Denver Nuggets."
Boom. Roasted.
How about Jordan Bell, who had a gif of a cat that said, "Oh, snap."
Boom. Roasted.
Oh, nice.
How about Jamal Crawford? "Can't lie. Thought it was going to be an all-LA West Finals coming into the season. As a fan, haven't felt robbed like this since we were supposed to get Cavs-Lakers final in 09.
Boom. Roasted.
Baron Davis, used to play for the Clippers, said, "Damn, them Battle of LA shirts got the homies hot. Dry inventory."
Boom. Roasted.
Which Ja Morant linked to that tweet and put four little crying smiley face emojis as well.
Boom. Roasted.
George Carl tweeted out, "The Clippers have died as a team right in front of us. Team beats talent every time."
Boom. Roasted.
Ice Cube, "Same old Clippers. A second round dynasty," with a beautiful picture of the Clippers logo social distancing from the Larry O'Brien trophy. Ow.
Boom. Roasted.
Then it just gets into a lot of compliments. and I'm not sure if the... Who's it? Oh, C.J. McCollum. C.J. McCollum tweeted to Dame Lillard and said, "Yo, are there any more of those hotel rooms available on your vacation?" See, that's when you say, what he made.
Boom,
it was a joke
it.
About the
Go
fact.
Ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Trey Young tweeted out, "2020 will show you anything can happen," with the 100 emoji.
Boom, roasted.
C.J. McCollum, once again, he was very busy last night. "Some people are built for it, some aren't."
Boom, roasted.
C.J. McCollum, "Bomber so hot, triple sideways crying emoji."
Boom. Roasted.
So Dame Lillard had tweeted out, "I guess I should extend this Cancun invite since I haven't made my arrangements yet." He sent that out to Patrick Beverly.
And, boom.
Roasted. C.J. McCollum linked to that, said, "I'll bring the wine. Weather nice as ever, too."
Boom. Roasted.
Kevin Love said, "Denver Nuggets, respect once again."
Boom. Roasted.
C.J. McCollum, "Man, he was on fire last night. Some people built for it, some aren't. I see you 27-15 went crazy, too."
Boom. Roasted.
Oh, this one's really good. Okay. I don't know if you already read this one or not. C.J. McCollum, "My last tweet before I finish this glass." So first of all, he's dipping in a little bit of the vino, perhaps.
Nothing wrong with that.
"They did vote they ain't want to play no more, but I didn't think they was going to go out like that."
Boom. Roasted.
Actually, John, I have a couple I need to share with you, Dale, real quick. One, NFL Memes chimed in this morning, and they said, "If the Clippers were NFL QB, and it's a picture of Romo."
Boom. Roasted.
And then actually last night, Rich, can you believe this? John Anderson gets shots fired at him from Dale Arnold.
Boom. Roasted.
I'm not even sure exactly what John tweeted out.
No,
it's a picture. Okay. Somebody said, "I dare you to drop the last photo in your camera roll with zero explanation." For some reason, but of course, because he's John Anderson, it's a photo of the CGI animated Chicken Little from the from the movie with the title
he's
of the eponymously
on some meme,
title.
Is what he's doing.
Of course he is. And Dale writes,
"The sky is falling! The sky is falling!"
Thanks, John.
So we got it, John. So John tweets that out as the last photo in his camera roll with zero explanation. And the savage Dale Arnold replies, "Selfie."
Boom. Roasted.
I was eviscerated by Dale. I had a long look in the mirror after that.
I'm surprised you came in today.
I almost didn't.
I'm actually surprised.
You had to drink half a bottle of wine to get over that.
I'll have to tell you guys, that is not, this might be breaking news. That is not the first time I've been compared to Chicken Little.
Really? You were compared to Meg from Family Guy earlier in the show.
Shut up, Meg.
So I got, I mean, I didn't want to ask last night on Twitter, but I got to ask, that's the last shot on your camera roll on your phone?
Yeah, so actually what I was doing, this is a true story.
Be happy it's not a Chris Evans camera roll, Dale.
Oh.
That's America's wang.
After he sent that out, did you see his follow-up tweet was, trust now me. That I've got your attention.
Yeah, never, trust me, we're not going to be calling John Dong Rivers anytime soon.
Hi, I'm Captain America.
I'm just glad I didn't tweet out my last picture because it's just a sad frog.
Wow.
Oh, you can't use that anymore.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
What's the sad frog?
Is that Pepe the Frog?
No, it's Sage. It's an emote.
Pepe
on
the
Twitch.
Frog's a hate symbol. Sad.
Pepe the Frog, the racist took it.
Hillary Clinton turned it into a hate symbol.
They stole it from us.
No, it's Twitch's. It's ours.
Twitch's? I don't know.
Twitch.
The last camera or
Full
last
roasted.
Last photo in my camera roll is in a parking lot yesterday when I was going in to get coffee. There was a convertible next to me that had two different dogs. One was laying down sleeping in the passenger seat, and the other one was staring right at me. I'll tweet that out. I didn't know that was a game. I'll tweet that out.
Boom, roasted.
By the way, right, I was pointing out to somebody that Joe Brady looks like Chicken Little. That's why I had Chicken Little on.
Oh, okay, great.
So, Fitzy, what's your last one?
Oh, it's the most pathetic thing in history. Last
Can
night,
can I take a random guess?
Go
Is
ahead.
It a craft beer?
No, actually, that's always a that's would have
been
pathetic.
A good guess.
Cam Newton's worthy. Head photoshopped on a nude body.
Boom, roasted.
No, nor is it even that picture of that useless Emmy that I sent you guys last night.
No, but congratulations.
Thank
on
you.
That.
I appreciate that.
Well done.
Thank you. I know that shows you how much they mean because they mean nothing because it's sent to a person that's
like
not
Kanye.
Even. It's not even a real person. Paul Fitzgerald won an Emmy in 2007.
I had never thought of that, by the way.
Yeah.
The Fitzy character needing a first and a full last name. Yep. I never would have thought about that.
I never would have said that your first name would have been Paul.
Paul, no. I wouldn't have had that. Yep. I would have probably even said Fitzpatrick, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fitzpatrick.
I wouldn't have gone Fitzgibbons. Yes, I would have gone Fitzgibbons.
Nope, it's a fake person with a real Emmy. No, the
Boom, roasted.
The saddest thing in the universe. I screen capped the fact that J. Crew Factory was having a 50% off everything sale today to remind myself that I had to get some clothes for my 7-year-old. So the last picture, as you can see,
that's pretty good.
It is a 50% off sale at the J. Crew Factory today.
That's
everybody,
a good deal.
So.
Boom, roasted.
Half off.
So I will.
My
admit,
new favorite bit. Right up next to I got a name for you. Is Boom Rush.
Yeah, that's also Wednesdays.
So I will admit that the last photo on my camera roll, I actually tweeted out last night.
Boom, roasted.
It's me and a service dog named Moxie, who's wearing a Bruins jersey. I put it on Twitter last night because Moxie's having some medical issues, and I wanted people to, you know, give Moxie and his owner the best wishes. But you talked about dog pictures. If the last picture on your camera roll is a dog picture, don't you win?
Oh yeah.
I mean, any dog picture's a good thing.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted.
Did we ring every bit of?
We're all dying laughing. That's why no one's talking.
Can we give me the Perkins again? Because Perkins was the ultimate. Maybe retire the boom roasted. Kendrick Perkins boom roasted the Clippers more than anybody's ever been boom roasted.
The dog started wagging his tail and they walked straight out of the front door with their ball and took the dog home with them. And on their way out, the Clippers had a sweet potato pie and a bottle of water to give them on their way out the front door. So I don't want to hear nothing about chemistry problems.
Boom roasted.
Wait, and then
sweet potato pie and a bottle of water.
Bottle of water, wash it all
down. Ready
for
this? He even came at them again on Twitter recently. He tweeted out, this is epic. He tweeted out, "Bring it in, fellas," says Doc Rivers. Cancun on three. 1, 2, 3. Cancun, say the Clippers.
Roasted.
Ow. Oh,
tan everywhere, Jan everywhere.
Everybody is ruthless in the NBA, apparently.
They got him. They went after the Clippers deserved it, though. They absolutely deserved it. Charles Barkley will be good on the Clippers. Next time they get an opportunity to discuss, I'm sure he'll be fantastic.
Well, they can't guard any senior citizens at recess.
At a recess? That's true.
He wins.
Oh man, you could smell it. You could see it. They heart started pumping Kool-Aid. And I'm looking at this Clipper team. Man, they couldn't guard a senior citizen at recess in a nursing home.
Hearts start pumping Kool-Aid.
Boom, roasted.
Is that a known analogy? Okay, so it's not just me.
I personally don't know what it is, but I'm sure it doesn't mean it's not a catchy saying. I don't know.
That one I haven't heard before.
Per Urban Dictionary, it means someone who has no backbone or courage or heart and avoids all conflict.
Read the split one again.
Wow.
Hey, no, guys, there's just a little bit of an update. This came in just after. Rich, this came in just after you did the trending, but I thought it would be worth including in today's program. According to NFL Update, Bruce Arians just said that Chris Godwin is in the concussion protocol.
Boom. Roasted.
Ooh. Not good for Tom Brady or your boys' fantasy team. Not good.
Not good. Well, is he a name? Chris Godwin, last year of his contract.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, if he's got a conky, I don't want him.
When the 0-5 Buccaneers have to fire sale?
Did you just call it a conky?
Yeah, a conky. You never gotten a conky before?
A conky? Like conky. A Phil Ma?
Yeah, we'd call him that.
I've got one, but I just thought you meant conch shell for a second. I was
what? Conky. Because sometimes you can't say the whole word when you have one.
Absolutely. When we come back, what else you got? Somebody, speaking of having to explain stuff to me, somebody's going to have to explain to me what the hell is on Gronk's mind. It's coming up next, Sports Radio WEEI.
Boom, roasted.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we might have missed earlier on in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy.
Oh, Dale.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Dale. Johnny, you got my music? Hit me.
Cue his music.
You know what? You know what it is.
Cue his music.
It's the theme.
We have music?
What do you mean?
No,
what do you mean?
I have the trailer ready.
Even better.
He's
oh,
the
Dale.
Meg.
I don't know if you saw this, but the most anticipated trailer in television
history.
Shut
up, Meg.
Debuted yesterday. I've rewatched it 5 times already, and this will be 6, and that's still not enough.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
Bird. This is the way.
Up aisle 50.
Wow.
That's right. Mandalorian Season 2 officially premieres, Dale, October 30th on Disney Plus, the premier streaming service. I know Rich hasn't been happy with it recently.
There's nothing on there.
I don't mind if I have
really
to pay a whole
I never
year
watch
to get to
another.
You know what is on there? Chicken Little.
Oh, God. Thank
okay.
you, John.
Now they owe, they
I
owe you
$6.99. I spend so much more time watching Netflix,
oh,
HBO.
I rewatch the Disney. There's a new Muppet show. I rewatch all the Marvels.
The Hulu.
All
the,
you can't call it Hulu. You have to
Prime,
call it the Hulu. And
the
sound
the
like
Hulu.
You're
Do you know they have now have live sports?
But Dale, this actually, Hulu has live sports,
yeah.
But me, I'm not going anywhere. Shut
oh.
up, Tom. Here, I did want to mention, though, Dale, that coming up this fall, we decided that with every new episode of The Mandalorian premiering on Fridays, that we thought it would be fun, since Rich and I and the boys geek mm-hmm. out about this show so much, mm-hmm. if we did a quick, possibly sponsorable, segment. So I know Zarbano, downstairs Hello. Joe, love to hear that.
Yes.
Where we would do a quick review, we'll say, every Wednesday of the previous week's episode.
We can call it This is the Wednesday.
Why would John you? Sucks John. So bad at what he does. He for some reason, butts in on the conversation, mm-hmm. and all of his ideas are trash ideas.
How about
what
we,
if
call
we call it? This is the Wayne's Day.
Save it.
How about yeah, how
thanks.
About?
Can't
how
we
about,
just do like Mandalorian Minute?
Why do we call? That's
yeah, I like the
good.
Mandalorian Minute.
How about we call it the Review DeLorean?
So, nope, Shime had it.
So back in the day, we did this once. On the midday show mm-hmm. About the TV show 24,
oh,
which
nice.
I was
oh,
yeah. infatuated
popular,
with. Love
yes.
Jack Bauer,
yes.
Chloe, and all that.
Damn it, Chloe.
And people got really, really mad at us.
Why?
Because they hadn't seen it yet.
That's why we thought, okay, very good. So that's why if it premieres Friday.
You have the whole weekend and
which you'll
Monday,
get,
Tuesday.
If and Dale, that show was so wildly watched last year. That's what helped Disney Plus surge past yeah. Hulu and Netflix to the most subscribed to streaming
E-Hulu.
Service in America. So this fall, you can
yes.
look forward to on Wednesdays. This is the Wednesday.
This is the Wednesday.
The review, the show review, perhaps.
With the Mandalorian.
Your
minute.
Permission pending, of course,
well,
of the
probably
Mandalorian.
Be This Is the Way Wednesday, right?
No. All right.
John.
that is so much better.
Enough, John. Next thing. Time for the next thing, John.
No, you know what? I'm not ready yet.
We're done talking about
this. I feel
this.
Like you guys have been taking unnecessary shots.
Shut up, Meg.
They're not unnecessary.
Not yet.
Now you.
What
play.
Else you got?
Perfect.
All right, there we go.
It's been Rich. A problem now that Shime's allowed to play sound in here.
It's almost seamless. This I really enjoyed. The Carolina Panthers were mic'd up on the sideline. Robbie Anderson, who had a nice day in his debut for the Panthers, he was sitting on the sideline looking up at the jumbo screen, and he was sitting with fellow receivers DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. And Robbie Anderson noticed the Carolina Panthers mascot up on the jumbo screen, and Robbie Anderson had some questions.
That bear doing?
The bear.
Panther.
That's Sir Herb, bro.
Who?
Sir Herb.
How you say that?
Sir Purr.
Sir Purr. Oh, Sir Purr?
Wow.
You call him that?
Yeah, that's his name.
So you be like, what's up, Sir Purr?
So, a little hard to hear.
Dumbest mascot name ever.
Dale,
that name is tremendous.
First of all, hold on a second. He thought it was a bear. You play for the Panthers. He goes, what's that bear? And DJ Moore goes, the Panther? He goes, oh, yeah, the Panther. He's like, oh, that's Sir Purr. And Robbie goes, that's what you call him? Yeah, like there's a lot of conversations going on with you and the mascot of the team who's up in the nosebleed sections by himself dancing like an idiot. What's that bear doing? Robbie, you play for the Panthers. Why would they have a bear for a mascot? Oh, wait. You call him, what do you call him? Sir Purr. It's like, that's what you call him? He goes, well, it is his name.
Well, see, he was deprived of a mascot all those years with the Jets. That's the issue.
We're burying the lead. Sir Purr?
Sir? Purr, P-U-R-R.
There's royalty?
Sir Purr.
Has he been knighted?
He's been knighted and ordained.
The dumbest nickname for a mascot ever.
Sir Purr?
At Patriot, I make sense. Sir Purr is stupid.
I don't mind Sir Purr.
Dale, Sir Purr is tremendous. Do not get up in
roasted.
Sir Purr's grill.
Rich, do you want to rethink your position on this now, Rich, now that Shime so wholeheartedly endorses this?
I like Sir Purr. No, I'm okay with that.
Thank you.
It's not like John likes it. If John liked it, I would have everything.
It's easily the top five mascot in the NFL.
Okay, calm down. Let's not get into mascot power rankings just yet.
That mascot could be in a movie titled Mascots I Don't Care About.
Oh, my God.
What an awful title for that movie.
Dale, you sure you don't want to change your
shut up, Meg.
Can we just be straight up? That would be an awful. That's a terrible title for that movie.
It would be on Disney Plus, though.
One thing you could watch.
Why get a step to the blues?
What else you got?
So on Instagram yesterday, there's an account called NFL Parody on Instagram. And they posted
Instagram
some
is much different.
I know, it probably worked
don't
better.
Much different.
That's O'Neal Beckham Jr. stuff. Yeah.
Yes, no. Yeah, Instagram is that's on OnlyFans.
Boom roasted.
So they posted a video of Gronk. And now, let's be honest, you could probably do this any day at any point. And the video that they posted was entitled If CTE Was a Person.
Boom, roasted.
And they played this.
You can go right around the whole time. It's a small world after all. I did it with my mom in February.
What?
I did it with my mom in February.
He kind of does a pause there before in February. Sounds very odd.
Small world after all. I did it with my mom in February.
Did he get more Buffalo this offseason, by the way?
Yeah, it does sound a little bit more Buffalo accent. You're right. He must have spent some time there.
My mom.
Hey, mom, the meatloaf. He really sounds like, ew, I don't know. Is everyone home?
I know they were the joking around when they said if CTE was a person. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. There are times when you hear him
and he's taking some hits.
You go, this doesn't sound right.
No.
Now, I've also been on It's a Small World, but I have kids. He went with his mom? I mean, his mom?
Well, she went with her kid, I guess. In that regard.
I guess that was it.
Boom, roasted.
Boy, John just is going to use that to death, isn't he, at this point?
Yeah, there wasn't a host in this show in my ear telling me to play that for the last 30 seconds.
Oh, no, not Chime. At all.
No way.
I'm not a host. Right, I don't give you that much credit.
I don't know, man. Something... Gronk, especially now, if Godwin is out on Sunday and Mike Evans has a bum hamstring.
Boom roasted.
And It's trouble.
It is. Gronk needs a big game Sunday.
He's not going to have it. I can see Brady having a bounce back game. I don't think Gronk.
Okay, so it's going to be OJ Howard.
Yep.
And it's going to be Scotty Miller and Cameron Brate.
I think Mike Evans will be all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I think he'll be all right.
All right, we got to get out of here. Fitzy, we will see you coming up on Friday, tomorrow.
Friday.
Andy Hart will be in. Peter King will join us. We'll start to get you ready for this weekend's game in Seattle. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Boom roasted.
That's all, folks.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.